All right. Well, thank you for the introduction. My name is Daniel Gillis, and I'm also from the Nova Scotia Agricultural College. I'd like to thank you guys for sticking around, and I appreciate that it's getting towards the end of the conference, and so I'm just going to go ahead and get started. The topic of my presentation is on the land application of municipal sewage biosolids and monitoring decomposition and organic contaminant concentrations in soil. So, as many people are aware, organic residues are promoted for the use in agriculture for many different reasons. They increase soil organic matter, there's benefits to soil quality, and depending on the composition of the residue, there's potential for carbon sequestration. And the issue we're having in Nova Scotia is that it's illegal to landfill and incinerate organic residues, and so everything is being applied to land. But at the same time, wastewater treatment systems are increasingly being recognized as sources of contaminants in the environment through the land application of the biosolids and also irrigation with reclaimed wastewater. Now, I should say that the wastewater treatment systems aren't the cause of the contaminants. It's that they're treating waste from such a wide variety of sources that it just everything ends up there. But our understanding of the decomposition of organic residues in soil is incomplete at the moment. So we need to study different types of amendments and under different environmental conditions. And we need to get a better understanding of what effect decomposition has on contaminants that are potentially bound to the organic matrix of the biosolid material or other organic residues. And also, there's an increasing push in the literature for an ecological dimension to decomposition, where we have to consider the organisms, the microorganisms in their environment, and how they respond to disturbances or changes in their environment. Which brings me to the topic of my research. And what I'm doing is monitoring the decomposition of an alkaline stabilized biosolid in soil at increasing amendment rates. And I'm also trying to determine the concentrations of organic contaminants in the biosolid and in amended soils. To do this, one of the approaches I'm taking is through an incubation study in a controlled environment at 20 degrees Celsius, 18% water content. And we have five amendment rates that are matched to our field trial. The 4 milligram per gram amendment rate corresponds to about 14 tons per hectare of biosolids, which is a recommended rate by the company for growing corn. We are monitoring it over time with destructive sampling to measure the soil parameters on with more frequent sampling in the beginning, because that's where much of the biological activity was predicted to occur. We extracted a portion with KCl extractions for inorganic nitrogen, and the remaining extracts were frozen until analysis. I forgot to put this in, but we measured carbon dioxide evolution by alkali traps in each between each time period. It's in here. So we measured carbon dioxide evolution. Our nitrogen data is being done with an auto analyzer. Total carbon, total nitrogen with the LECO combustion analyzer, and pH and electrical conductivity are with the pH meter. These are just some general properties of the biosolid that we're using. Has a CN ratio of 16, which is fairly low. The pH is kind of low itself too. And to get a handle on the organic contaminant concentrations, we are implementing an extraction method that we're trying to evaluate first with a preliminary spiking trial, and we're spiking at three levels that are ranging around the limit of detection that's for the method that we're using. And we're using two soil types, an ashed silica and an air dry field soil with three replicates. For the organic contaminant spiking trial, these are the chromatograms we got from it, and as you can see, our recovery is not that great for a lot of the compounds, such as paracresol and indole. It wasn't above our detection limit. The number of them are, though, such as 4-tetraoctylphenol and triclosan, benzoylpyrene, phenanthrene. We were able to detect them, and they're being recovered with approximately 30 to 50% recovery based on just estimating based on the same concentration, but using the axis. So there's obviously some work that we still have to do there. But for the main thing I want to talk about is modeling the carbon mineralization. These are our mineralization curves. And as you can see, there's quite a period of activity here at the in the first 2 weeks in all amendment rates that tends to taper off as you get towards the end of the incubation. So what I tried to do was model this system, and I used a number of models that were presented, extracted from the literature. The first order kinetic model is a fairly simple one that lets you estimate the amount of the size of the potentially mineralizable carbon pool, as well as rate constant, which can be converted to a half-life time. And the other models get more complex by adding different pools that try to separate the carbon into easily available and more recalcitrant forms. And so the first order plus linear and double first order were ones that I've found in the literature. This first order plus logistic is one that I came up with, and the logistic portion contains also the size of the carbon pool, and it contains two other parameters that are the inflection point in the logistic portion, and as well as a scaling factor, which is the distance from the inflection point to the three-quarter height of the curve. And I compared these using a rigorous statistical treatment based on the mean squares error, as well as evaluating the assumptions of normality and constant variance of the error terms. And what this shows is that the first order exponential didn't meet constant variance in any case. The first order plus linear model met both assumptions in three cases, but didn't have constant variance in two of the cases. And the mean squares error for both of these were lower than the other two models, except in the control soil. The double first order had the lowest mean squares error of all of the models tested, but it didn't meet the normality assumption in the third highest rate. The first order plus logistic model, it has the second lowest mean squares error, and it met the assumptions in all cases. So what I concluded from this is that the double first order model and the first order plus logistic were the best two under these conditions. So I fit the first order plus logistic model to all of the amendment to the carbon data from each amendment rate, and did a comparison across rates for the different parameters. And while the carbon pool sizes are significantly different, there was no effect of amendment rate on the mineralization rate constants. And this is the model fit for my study. What it shows is that it's a fairly good fit, in my opinion. It tends to maybe underestimate it towards the end, but yeah, it's fairly good fit, and it performed pretty well against the other models. And one additional benefit of this model is that it can handle an inflection point in the data, which I've seen in some mineralization curves, and there may be a small one, but it's questionable here. So for the two models that came out to be the best in my study, they both had residuals that were normally distributed with constant variance. But for the double first order model, the first order portion, the rate of change is always decreasing over time, which means that the fastest rate is at the beginning. And this may or may not be inconsistent with the theory for the slow pool of carbon. A number of authors are suggesting that the degradation of the more resistant carbon sources in the amendment requires the buildup of a different group of organisms with enzyme capabilities that are able to degrade more complex molecules. And according to this, I would expect that the mineralization rate would initially increase and then decrease as substrate concentration decreases. For the logistic model, it can handle an initial increase in the mineralization rate, which decreases again, which I think it could represent the growth of a different microbial population as conditions become unfavorable for the original inhabitants. And also several people have suggested that there's a succession of microorganisms that occurs during decomposition. You might have heard of our NK-selected organisms in the literature. So, what I did was I took the flog model, I called it, and I simulated some curves just to see the the different range of curves that could be produced with this model. And by just varying two of the parameters in the logistic model, you can get a range of curves that appear almost exponential in nature to something that has a pretty big inflection point in it. So this model is definitely more versatile than the first order and double first order models. And another way to look at it is by plotting the derivative of this model. What I did was from the data from my highest amendment rate, and I just changed the parameters C2 and KB. And what happens is when you change the size of the carbon pool, you get you get an increase in the portion of the graph here. When you decrease the scaling factor, the distance from the inflection point to the three-quarter height of the curve, it actually produces this bump in the mineralization rate, which I've also observed in some other curves from the literature. And when you change both parameters, increase the carbon pool and decrease the scaling factor, you get this rather large bump. So what can I conclude from this? Alkaline stabilized biosolids, there was a rapid flush of microbial activity that happened immediately after we amended the soil and lasted approximately 2 weeks, which indicates that this organic material contains a rather active carbon pool. And also the amendment rate has no significant effect on the mineralization rate from the model. However, the flog model has five parameters, and I only had about 11 sampling times. So there's, if I had more sampling times, it would give the model more statistical power and might allow the more differences to emerge. For the flog model, it could be possibly useful for mineralization curves that contain inflection points or even for curves that don't, as I showed in the simulated curves, and it can fit a variety of curve shapes. And other previous work has shown that the logistic model can be a good approximation for substrate utilization in cases where the added substrate is not that which is used primarily by the microorganisms for growth, but it's co-utilized instead. And in these cases, the rate depends on both the population size of the organisms consuming the substrate and also on substrate concentration. And this may be the case for soil microorganisms that use the complex carbon sources, which in their natural environment would likely feed on soil organic matter or structural polymers and stuff like that in organic soil organic matter. And I'm thinking that this could be a useful avenue for future research. And with that, I'd like to thank everybody for sticking around, and I will entertain any questions that you may have. And these are funding agencies and some colleagues that worked on the project with me. And thank you. Yes?
Your decomposition rate comps that you were using in the flog model, were those empirically derived?
What I did was I used SAS computer program, and that it picks the parameter that gives you the best fit. So it was derived from the data, not as a, I didn't extract it from the literature somewhere.
Using Proc and Lin?
Proc and Lin. I can't remember the algorithm right now, but.
Right.
Thank you.